Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being reminded that it's impossible for anything to separate us from God's love. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 for a message called Loved Forever, Saved Forever, as we go back to basics.
Paul looks at death and all of the possibilities there. He says there's nothing. He's absolutely convinced nothing in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ. But then he says life. All of the uncertainties that come along in life. I mean, think about the possibilities. So many uncertainties, aren't there? We really don't know what a day is going to bring. And there are so many things that could possibly happen. Sickness, abandonment, persecution, these kinds of things. Sickness befalls people, and sometimes it debilitates them, not only physically at times, sometimes people are mentally debilitated through sickness. I have seen people who have been affected in a way through some sort of illness that it's affected their ability to even properly think, or and as a result of that, to not even be able to behave in a proper way. Now, some people look at that and say, well, how do you explain that? Or what about that? Or, you know, that could separate a person from the love of God in Christ. No, Paul says nothing in life. Nothing that comes along in life, all of its uncertainties, whatever it might be, although we might be abandoned by men, although we might even feel at times that we've been abandoned by God, but we haven't been. That's what he's saying. So nothing in life. And then he says angels, principalities, and powers. And certainly here he's talking about those powers of darkness. The fallen angels and the principalities, the powers. We know from Ephesians chapter 6 that these are references to the satanic powers. And we know that Satan and the demonic host, we know that they are at work against us. Jesus even said to Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." So whether Satan has specifically asked for each and every one of us or not, I don't know. I don't think that he has. But whether he's asked for us or not, that's his intention. The intention of Satan and the demonic host is to overthrow our faith. That's what they're attempting to do. That's what they are feverishly laboring to do. But here's the great news. Although Satan has asked for you, that desired you that he may sift you as wheat, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, "But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And when you are restored, strengthen your brethren." See, what a wonderful thing. All of the designs of the devil, all of his attempts to overthrow us will never succeed because Jesus has prayed for us. And he is praying for us. Remember, he's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And so when you are restored, that's the promise. And you know, as I said, the longer I live life, I just see how God is so amazingly faithful to do these things. I have a friend that I spoke with a few days on the phone, and I was so delighted to speak to him and to hear even the tone of his voice. The moment I heard the tone of his voice, I was so delighted, because the last conversation I had with him several months ago was not a pleasant conversation. And he's the person who's been in ministry many years, and we've been very, very close friends for many years. And at a certain point, he just went off the rails and pretty much decided he was done with God and done with the church and done with his family, and he's going to go and do his own thing. And, you know, I, as a friend, I was reaching out and trying to talk some sense into him and trying to help him, you know, get his head on straight and make good decisions. And, you know, there was a certain point where he just said, get lost. I'm going to go do my own thing. And so at that point, what could I do? Well, I did the one thing that we should always do. I just said, Lord, he's your problem. Take care of him. Deal with him. And I kept him in prayer. And, you know, when he actually sent me a text the other day and said, hey, I want to talk to you. And when I finally heard his voice on the other end of the phone, the minute I heard it, like I said, it, just in the very tone, I sensed, Lord, thank you. You have done your faithful work. You've restored him. You've brought him to his senses. You brought him out from under that negative influence. And this is the kind of thing, of course, Satan, this is a guy God has used extraordinarily. God has done great things through him. I could see Satan saying, I want this guy. I want to sift him as wheat. But Jesus prayed for him and restored him. And now there is a blessing that's coming. But this is the reality. And so Paul goes on and he talks about anything in the present. Is there anything in the present that can separate us? No. What about the future? Now, of course, we don't know the future, do we? The future is unknown, but here's one thing you can know about the future. I'll tell you right now what you can know about the future. Nothing can separate you from God's love, which is in Christ. Nothing in the future can do that. And then he says, height, depth, any created thing, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And one commentator said this. He said, insecurity is written across all human experience. Christian people are not guaranteed immunity to temptation, tribulation, or tragedy, but we are promised victory over them. God's pledge is not that suffering will never afflict us, but that it will never separate us from his love. Our confidence is not in our love for him, which is frail, fickle, and faltering, but in his love for us, which is steadfast, faithful, and persevering. That's the reality right there. Indeed, insecurity is written across all human experience, but thank God our confidence is not in our love for God. Our love that is frail, that is fickle, that is faltering. Look, if I had to depend on myself to make sure that I ultimately made it to heaven, I would be in sad shape. If that's what your thinking is, then you're in sad shape too. But God wants you to come out of that. He wants you to have confidence in his ability to do what he promised to do. Now, listen, many, many Christians live without this kind of security or confidence. Now, there are certain theological positions within the broader realm of the church that simply will never allow for the believer to have security. Roman Catholic theology does not allow for you to have security about your future in regard to heaven. When I was growing up as a Roman Catholic, it was very clear that Jesus did his part. Now you better make sure you do your part. And if you don't, then too bad. That's it. It's a combination of faith and works in Catholicism. But listen, the Bible does not combine those two things. The Bible specifically and dogmatically and over and over again shows us that no, these two things are not, this is not the combination for salvation, faith and works. Faith alone is what brings salvation. Works are the result of the salvation that comes through faith. But if I'm thinking in my head that, you know, I've got to do my best and I got to work harder and all of that, I will live a life of torment mentally. And God does not want us there. It's not dependent on our love for him. Just as we're reminded in Scripture, we love God Because he loved us first. That's why we love God, because he loved us first. He took the initiative. And he's carrying on with that original plan, and he's continuing to preserve us because he's the one who's faithful. He's the one who is steadfast. And so here's the question: how secure is our salvation? How certain is it that we who are in Christ will make it to glory? Well, as we've been reading here, Paul was absolutely convinced that nothing, ourselves included, could separate us from the love of God and from his intended purpose to bring us to glory. Now, look back with me at the 29th verse that we read this morning. Notice what Paul says here. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And then verse 30, whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. You see, this is where we have to take the scriptures and we have to look at them. What are we being told here? Well, I want you to notice something. Go back to the first thing, whom he foreknew, and skip over everything else and come to the last thing. He glorified. There's a process that Paul lays out step by step here, but what in the end, what he's saying is, look, God is going to get you to his intended destination, which is glorification. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. God knew those who would respond to his grace, and so he determined in advance what? That they would be glorified. And so you could, I mean, you certainly can walk through these steps. These are steps, but the end result is what Paul is wanting to emphasize to us. You see, God is going to get you to that place, and he speaks of glorification, although it's future, he speaks of it as though it's already taken place. Notice, he speaks of it in the past tense. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Past tense. How certain is it that we're going to get there? It's so certain that God speaks of it as though it has already happened. That's how certain it is. Now, many, many places in Scripture, this is what we are told. Ephesians chapter 1, for example. This is a summary of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that we have been chosen by God. So we've been chosen by God, chosen to be holy and blameless before him. We've been chosen to be holy and blameless before him. We've been predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. And now listen, Paul goes on there to say, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. See, these are strong, strong words. These are unequivocal. There's no possible other interpretation for what Paul is saying here. He is saying that these are the things that we've been chosen and predestined to. We've been chosen by God to be what? Holy and blameless. Are we going to be holy and blameless? Yes. That's what he's chosen us to. He's predestined us to adoption. Predestined means it determined in advance. So he's determined in advance that we are going to enter into that inheritance. We talked about what adoption is about. But then this is what I love so much. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, to the first century audience that Paul originally wrote to, they got this in an instant. Because the seal was the sign of ownership. And what Paul is saying to them is, look, you have become God's possession. He owns you. And he's made that clear by sealing you with the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So think about those words, purchased possession. That's what you are already. You're purchased by God. You're his possession now. He's put the seal of the Spirit upon you, and that's the guarantee that you're going to get to the ultimate destination that he intends for you. The word guarantee here, interestingly, it's a Greek word that speaks of an engagement ring. So the engagement ring, the Holy Spirit is the engagement ring. What does the engagement ring signify? That And in that culture and at that time, it was more than it is today. You know, ladies, if you got an engagement ring in the first century, you didn't get mad, take it off, and throw it away. So we have to understand this in its context. No, that was a done deal. It was sealed at that point. I mean, in some ways, it was more like the wedding, the sealing of that we have in a wedding today. So the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And then Paul, in writing again to the Ephesians in the fifth chapter, listen to what he says. He says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. To what end? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. What is this telling us? It's telling us what Christ intended to do, what he is going to do. This is what Jesus is going to do. He's going to accomplish what he set out to accomplish. And Paul speaks of these things with absolute certainty. This is what he's going to do. It's in this, again, in the modern vernacular, it's a done deal. But where did Paul get this confidence? Well, he got it from Jesus himself, because Jesus in John chapter 10 said these words, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There is no way around this statement. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's the kind of security that we have. Now think about this. Jesus said, I give them eternal life. Now, by just definition itself, eternal life, it can't be temporary. You can't have had eternal life and then lost it. No. By definition, it is eternal. It goes on forever. When God saves us, he saves us forever. He doesn't save us as long as we can do our best to keep ourselves saved. That would be us saving ourselves, really, wouldn't it? But he's the one who saves. He saves us. And this is that unequivocal, indisputable, unmistakable declaration. These things are clear. We are safe and secure in Christ. That's the reality. Now, whenever you preach on the security of the believer, there are always going to be those who are going to misinterpret what you're saying and draw the wrong conclusions. And people are going to say, okay, well, yeah, you talk about the security of the believer, then that means that you think that people can just live any old way they want and it doesn't matter because in the end, everybody's going to get to heaven. I never said that. I don't believe that. You see, because if a person has not gone through a transformation, then we have to ask the big question, why would one think they are saved? You see, today we think you're saved if you raise your hand and say a prayer and maybe go forward at an event or something. And certainly that is a way that people do get saved. But that's not necessarily always the case, right? People can do those things and nothing happens. I mean, I've had people say to me, you know, you go to witness to them because you see, man, this guy needs the Lord so bad. And you go to share with them. They go, hey, I'm already a Christian. I don't need to hear that. You're like, you're joking, right? What makes you think you're a Christian? Well, you know, in 1978, I went to, there's this thing, and they asked if anybody wanted to be saved. And I said, I do. And so I did, and I was, and now, you know, get lost. No. That's not salvation. Salvation is something has happened in your life. There's a transformation that's taken place. You see, because there is something called sanctification. And when you're justified, which will ultimately lead to glorification, there's going to be, in the middle of this, there's going to be sanctification. There's going to be a change taking place in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect. And you know, it's like somebody said, you know, I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's the reality. So no, I'm not preaching this, you know, kind of the once saved, always saved, where you just, it doesn't matter how you live. It's just as long as you said a prayer sometime back whenever, and you know, nothing else matters. You just got a guaranteed pass into heaven. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, it's certainly possible that a genuinely Christian person can backslide, be in sin. But of course, God never comforts a person in their sin or tells them, hey, don't worry about it. Just stay there. It'll all be fine in the end. You'll make it to heaven. Just keep on living that sinful life. The Bible never encourages that or implies that. All the Bible has to say to the person who's in sin is, hey, get out of that. Here's God's grace. Here's God's power. Here's God's mercy. Now get out of that. So lest I be falsely accused, I'm not saying any of those things, but I am saying this. And I'm not saying it, I'm just restating it. Jesus said it. Paul said it. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. We are safe and secure in Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it. That's what we need to know. This is the thing that enables us to persevere. This is the thing that gives us the peace when we lie down at night. The comfort. You know, this morning after first service, I had two or three people walking out the door, and you could just see the tears of joy, and you could just see the hope rising. You know, thank you so much. I needed to hear that today. People are getting beat up and condemned. But these are the very things that Paul says, no, these are not for us as God's people. No, there's no condemnation. I love the way my friend Sherry Youngward put it in her song. She has a song, All I Need to Know, and I hope you get it when I read the lyrics. It's better when it's sung by her. But, you know, I love this song, and oftentimes when I listen to it, I'm just encouraged. And it's taken loosely from the 8th chapter of Romans here, but she says this. She says, no height too high, no depth too low. There is no distance his love will not go. This is all I ever wanted. Talking about just this brings me that security that I've always wanted. And this is all I need to know. This is what we need to know as God's people. Then she says this, I look behind me at what has been done. I look before me at what is to come. No teardrop has fallen, no trial known to man slipped through God's fingers when he stretched out his hand. No height too high, no depth too low. There is no distance his love will not go. This is all I ever wanted. This is all I need to know. Listen, nobody slips through God's fingers. Jesus said, they're in my grip. They're in the grip of my Father, and no one can undo that. No one can pry you out of God's hand. And if you're one of those people that says, well, nobody can pry me out, but I bet you I could slip out. No, you can't. And if you want to slip out, maybe you're not in. God will keep you. He's got a death grip on you and me, and he's going to take you to where he intends you to be. He's going to take you to glory, ultimately. Rest in that.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Loved Forever, Saved Forever, and the resource number is BBT0007. If you have any questions or encouragement or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you are Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.